Rosewood, Fruitdale Station, 12 Years a Slave. Years ago, such films, I'm gonna date myself now. Imitation of Life, Home of the Brave is a film that captured my imagination very early in life with James Edwards. And of course they did the, that was the original, they did a remake with Samuel Jackson, I believe. They all had their themes. We should keep that in mind, and maybe one theme appeals to you more than the other. Why am I doing this? Well, because recently myself and a number of fellow black men, a good friend of mine, we went to see 12 Years a Slave, and many folks got up and walked out of the movie. Many black men, black people, couldn't watch it. And that I thought was very interesting, because unless we examine history, we're doomed to repeat it. So this is my cause today, and I hope yours, and I hope we have some good discussion. So give me a call at 503-231-8187 as we listen to It Takes a Village. One thing I don't want to get lost in this discussion this morning is the fact that we've come a long way, and I think many of these films really depict that. Our telephone number is 503-231-8187 if you have a question or comment that you'd like to make. If you viewed the film dealt with some very hard realities for many of us who are of African-American descent and have to sit there and look at some of the goings on. But it's history, and true or not, I think that it was just the tip of the iceberg in terms of treatment of African-American people in this country, and slavery in particular. And maybe many of the reasons why we're still kind of saddled with that today. And that's a question that I think that needs to be asked. Will racism ever, in light of viewing these experiences and these examples, will racism ever be eradicated in America? Can we ever put those experiences behind us as a nation? Even now, even though we have an African-American president, is he being treated as all other presidents are being treated, or have been treated, in terms of the respect for the office? 503-231-8187 is the number. 503-231-8187. And we kind of discuss some of these films. Those of you who might have viewed them, and for those of you who haven't, you might have some thoughts or comments about the validity of those films and then the necessity of viewing such films. Rosewood was another film that was very difficult for some folks to view, and That's interesting in terms of John Singleton did that film. So 503-231-8187 if you have a comment, if you viewed the film, if you viewed 12 Years a Slave, then by all means give us a call with your opinion of the film. Okay. I honestly thought that there would be more calls than this. Obviously, I can't sit with dead air, so we'll have just a little music. Give you time to think about such films. I remember one of the reasons why we talked about the theme of such films is I remember coming up, they had a movie called Pinky. Some of you may be aware of that or may have remembered that film. I'm not certain who starred in it. It was Imitation of Life was another film that sort of rocked the community at that early age at during that time. Pinky was a movie that talked about a African-American woman who was very fair complexion, looked almost Caucasian, and the trials and tribulations that she went through having to deal with being of mixed ethnicity, you know. And it was a good film for that time. I was watching the History Channel recently and was looking at the contributions of the African American military, the African American in the military, and that has been depicted in such films as Glory, Men of Honor, Home of the Brave, and it was really very difficult to watch because it begged the question, what are you fighting for? Because during that time, there were many films showing that the African-American was fighting, but he could not come home and be respected as a human being. He talked about, I remember my dad used to talk about being in overseas, and the white soldiers would make up stories about the black soldiers, about they had tales and things of that nature to the indigenous people wherever they were. It begged the question, what are you fighting for? But nevertheless, they fought, and they fought honorably, and many, many, I think just recently, President Obama recognized a number of veterans who could not get recognition for their work during that time, but have since qualified for the Medal of Honor. We know about Dory Miller during the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. He had to come up from the kitchen, which is the only place that blacks could work in those days. In the Navy, it could only be mess hall, but he came up to the surface, grabbed one of the deck guns, and shot down a number of Japanese planes. So these stories, and you didn't get a chance to really kind of go into them as much as I would have liked during the Black History Month, but I still think that these stories are important. Particularly when we look at history, when we look at the historical record and how it can contribute to where we are today. So again, one thing we must not get lost in this is again how far we've come. And we can see that just by, in terms of KBOO. Okay, I think I have a call here. Okay. KBOO, your question or comment?
Hi, I just wanted to comment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, hi. I didn't realize I was
yeah, you're on the air.
Okay. Yes, I did see 12 Years a Slave, and it was overwhelming. I'm just so proud of Steve McQueen and the entire cast. I thought everyone in it was extraordinary. And I was also, one thing that also made me happy was the fact that he cast people from the continent. He cast African people in lead roles. I'm not sure how to pronounce the name of the lead actor, but also Lupita Nyong'o. The fact that he cast a black-skinned woman, an African woman, instead of using the old Hollywood trope of finding... I mean, there's nothing wrong with having light skin, but he didn't go the route of getting someone, you know, golden-skinned and, you know, the typical Hollywood route of using light-skinned actresses. I'm glad he did not do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was beautifully written, amazingly acted. He really got some real firepower in terms of his casting. And I'm also grateful to Brad Pitt, who I think probably played a crucial role in getting this done. If he hadn't had that type of force behind him, someone at that level in Hollywood, it probably wouldn't have gotten made.
I totally agree. And watching the film, was it difficult for you?
Yeah, it was very difficult.
As
I
a
never
black,
first
of all, are you African American or are you a Caucasian?
I'm African American.
Oh, okay.
I never felt tempted to walk out, but there were definitely moments when I had to turn my eyes away. And it was interesting because the person I went with was white, and I really expected, I expected there to be a whole lot of black people there, and it was just me. So it was interesting, the crowd reactions. It was pretty much dead silence until the favorite line of the film was said. I think the actor's name is Paul Giamatti.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays a slave seller, and his line was, it was that portion where this woman was being separated from her children, and she's just virtually on her knees clawing at this man in tears, begging him not to sell her children away. And he says, "My sentiment extends no farther than the length of a coin."
Mm.
And I just cracked up because it was such a 20th century line. I mean, it's something that could be said by, I don't know, by the Koch brothers. But, you know, I don't care more about you or your life than the length of a dollar bill. It was like totally 20th century, and I just fell out and I roared. And then like everyone kind of, you know, just gave a double take and looked at, you know, who's this black person laughing? And then after that, people just kind of relaxed and started laughing at things. But I just thought that was my favorite line of the film.
Stay on the line for a second. 503-231-8187 is the number. The name is Shahid Hamid, and this is It Takes a Village. Let me ask you this. What movie, is that the only movie that you've seen recently? Did you see The Help? Did you see The Butler?
I saw The Butler. I wasn't that crazy. I mean, it had its moments, but it also, I felt like it dealt in a lot of cliches.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit too episodic and too sketchy the way that it moved. Mm-hmm. And I kind of did not like their depiction. I thought their depiction of the Black Panthers was rather shallow. The Black Panthers were not about killing people. The most of what they did was social service, feeding people, clothing people. They created medical clinics. They created dental clinics in the Black community. They provided services that have been systematically denied to Black people for decades. And a lot of what the Great Society came up with, they had to do in response to community organizations like the Black Panthers, because they were terrified of minority communities being radicalized. So I did not like their depiction of the Panthers.
Your favorite film, did you see Glory by any chance?
I did see Glory. I liked it. This I really loved Malcolm X. I thought that Spike Lee did an excellent job with Malcolm X. One film I really love, it's not exactly history, but I really did like Quentin Tarantino's Jackie Brown. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really funny. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that Samuel Jackson and Pam Grier were excellent. Love and Basketball, that came out a few years ago. I think that was Spike Lee. There's been a lot of good stuff made. I think the historical dramas are difficult, though, because they're so expensive to really do well, and it's obvious that for this one, 12 Years a Slave, I mean, you can tell that tens of millions of dollars went into this production because it is meticulous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the costumes, the set pieces.
You know, on location.
Yes.
Everything.
It is beautifully done. There's not one false step in. There's nothing you look at and you're like, that doesn't look right. No, it's all on.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
But thank you so much. We got another call coming in. We had one anyway. But thank you so much for calling. (503) 231-8187 is the number. If you have a comment, if you viewed some of the films that we've talked about. Because the name of the show, or the title of this show, the theme of the show is the validity of films depicting the African-American slave experience, but the African-American experience is itself. I viewed one of the movies on the it was on the HBO, but I went to see this movie, and it was very impressive. It was a remake again. 42 was a film that I thought captured some of, if not all of, obviously what Jackie Robinson went through, breaking into Major League Baseball. And I thought that was a film that was well acted, well done as well. 231-8187 Okay, is our number. And if you have a comment or an observation that you'd like to share, by all means, please do. There have been a number of films recently, in addition to the Best Picture of the Year, 12 Years a Slave, The Help, The Butler, Django, Glory, Red Tails, Men of Honor. Fruitvale Station is quite another good film that I've recently viewed. Rosewood, John Singleton, Boys in the Hood. Going back a number of years, Home of the Brave with James Edwards, although that was also a remake with Samuel Jackson. So there's a number of themes, and I'm sorry we don't have okay. Cable, your question or comment?
Yeah, I had a comment.
Yes.
I was just calling. My husband and I saw 12 Years a Slave last night, and I'm white and he's black, and I just thought it was such an important movie for both of us to see, and I thought that it's important sort of for, I feel like, everyone to see, and even though we've seen movies like this before, I felt like this one was different.
Do you feel, as a white person, do you feel kind of like obligated or responsible or embarrassed or ashamed, or what are some of your feelings when you view the film, particularly when, as you mentioned, your husband is black?
You know, I think I felt just very, very sad that this was in our history, and I guess, you know, like, as a white person, I do feel like it makes me, I don't feel responsible. I do feel it makes me wonder what I would have done, and if I would have done something. And I think the fact that question's there is sad, but it's also an important feeling to have.
Let me ask you this. Do you think, you know, seeing these films and seeing some of what goes on even today in many respects with Congress and the conservative movement and so forth, do you think racism will ever be eradicated in this country?
That's a hard question. I don't know if racism will ever be fully eradicated. I think there's large steps we can take, and I think that being aware and actually trying to investigate our past instead of kind of trying to put it behind us is really important. You know, I think it's interesting. My husband and I spent some time abroad in London, and, you know, there's racism there too, obviously. It's just such a different experience being on the streets there as it is in America. And they have a different history than us, so I don't know if it'll ever change for us in the same way, but I do kind of see hope in that, I guess.
Well, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
And for sharing your comments with us.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to It Takes a Village. I'm Shahid Hamid, and sorry we don't have more time. I think that this program really, and this subject really is, will take at least an hour to just scratch the surface. But I want to thank those of you who have called and those of you who have been listening to the show and didn't get a chance to call. I want you to think about some of the thing that we've discussed on this program. And if we get enough response, then maybe we'll do it next month, the first Friday. Maybe. We'll see. I want to thank Kabu again for helping us do these kind of programs and giving us the opportunity to share some of this information with you. There's no other radio station that does it in this town. So we want to thank those of you who contributed to our membership drive as well. Until the first week of next month, Shahid Hamid thanking you for It Takes a Village, wishing you peace, power, but most of all, love. Until next time.
This is KBOO Portland. Time is 11:30 a.m. Coming up on the Radio Zine, Sutri Irving interviews Randall Stewart and Cassie Scogie of Ceremon House. Check it out.
Sutri Irving for the Morning Radio Zine. I'm here in the KBOO studios with Randall Stewart, founder and director of Ceremon House, and Cassie Scogie, a member of the Creative Council of Ceremon House. Welcome to KBOO, Randall and Cassie.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves and then what Ceremon House is?
Oh, great. Well, I'm a Portlandian off and on over the last three decades. I travel as an artisan up and down the West Coast, originally a San Franciscan, and a life in the theater and teaching. At various colleges up and down the West Coast and also in New York. And I have found myself back in Portland again and again and again, which I am delighted to report. And it occurred to me to establish Ceremon House, this dream that I held about a sanctuary for the humanities here in this most groovy of cities. And in fact, that's coming to be, and we'll be talking more about that today.
Cool. I've been in Portland for 10 years, and I got involved with Ceremon House, I think a little over 2 years ago, just as a volunteer helping out with the different events that are happening, and then recently came on as part of the Creative Council helping develop the events that are actually happening.
Cool. And what is Ceremon House exactly?
Ceremon House started as an idea at an evening salon where I pulled together 40 of my great friends who I all thought represented aspects of the humanities, be it as teachers or artisans or social workers or woodworkers or puppeteers. I pitched at the time the idea that might we want to all find our way to establishing something a little bit in the middle between our times or our jobs at some of the most wonderful theaters and museums here in town, or as school teachers and social workers, et cetera. And might we find a place, in fact, an actual place? Might we find a building, potentially an older abandoned church or lodge, and reawaken such a piece of property into a place that is non-denominational and yet a great place for people to congregate evening after evening for evenings of great thought. And people thought this was a great idea.
Uh-huh.
And we, in fact, started wildly with $7 probably in our pockets. But we began to dress like adults and go out and look at properties that were available. And then that journey led us eventually to an extraordinary lodge, a former Masonic lodge, where we now make our home.
I love that you picked this building because I live in the neighborhood.
Yes.
And I used to go by it all the time. And when it went up for sale, I was like, that would make such a great community center.
Yes, exactly. It's in the heart of the Alberta Arts District.
Yes.
So that's fantastic. And it had been abandoned for nearly 7 years after an amazing life. We have found some amazing stuff on microfiche. And it was built exactly 90 years ago by a really progressive group of Masons who really were into their community and opened it up within their own context at the time and had that building for over 50 years before they handed it over to a wonderful Baptist congregation, which continued their fellowship work and community work. Amazing, opening the doors to really make it a safe haven. For 20 years or more, it was a great, great fellowship hall. And then we're the third way in, and we hope that our programming suits in a really great handshake with that particular neighborhood, but also greater Portland.
Yeah. I'm really excited about it. When I first met you by happenstance that day, I was really excited to learn all about it, and I'm excited to have you here so we can tell the community what you all are doing.
Thank you.
With that
Thanks.
Building and your organization.
And I was thinking it might be nice for me just to lay out what the humanities are.
Yeah.
Because we've got that in our charter, you know, in our mission, that's really what we're about. And people say, can you tell me again what does that mean?
Yeah.
So the humanities can best be described as the myriad ways in which people from every period of history, including contemporary, process and document our human experience.
Uh-huh.
And these include language, all languages, ancient and modern, literature, which we have a great interest in. We present great evenings. We feel that really wake up literature and kind of take it from the page to the stage. Philosophy and religion and spirituality is in that mix. The visual and performing arts, that's big to us. A lot of us are from the world of the theater and education and the mm-hmm. arts. Some music and theater and dance. But it also can include the social sciences of history, anthropology, communication, and cultural studies. And we also like to add ecology, because that's a science and a study that we're greatly interested in as humans.
Uh-huh.
You know, and
it's
so
very important.
Super important, yeah.
And so how do you see this building and this structure being used for the humanities?
You know, it's an amazing room, don't you think, Cassie?
Yes. It's got a really large central space, and then it has a lot of smaller rooms that can be used for a lot of different things. So you could do a big gathering. You could have a retirement party there or a performance space. So I think it's going to be a pretty versatile building.
Yeah.
You can hold classes in there.
We've got a conference room. It's an amazing layout. It's uh-huh. it's basically a, in a way, a box within a box. The auditorium's in the middle, and then mm-hmm. around and about it, beautiful fellowship hall, office, potential office space, dressing rooms. Should uh-huh. there be, let's say there's a wedding of any sort in there, why there would be space for people to prepare.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So it's got a beautiful structure because it was built in 1924. So it's got this beautiful interior, and we just need to add and enhance what's already there to make it ready for people to come in and use the space.
And really make it, you know, bring it up to code as a public space. And so, as I'm sure many of the listeners know, that sounds cheery, but is full of a whole lot of work and muscle to get yeah. there. So we have an amazing